Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. As we do every month or every other week, we recap the most recent Hastings City Council meeting, and we're thrilled to have Council Member Tina Fulch on the phone with us today to recap the most recent early May meeting, and we want to say welcome to her. How are you today?
Hi, Mo. I am glad to be here, and I think spring has finally arrived. There's hope this upcoming weekend.
Oh, I I know. I sure hope so. So, Tina, you had a recent meeting, and I know that there were quite a few things on the consent agenda. Was there anything that you wanted to pull out of that?
One of the things that was on the consent agenda that was interesting to see is that we had an application for two new sidewalk cafes to go in. One was the Hastings Dairy Store.
What?
They're hoping to put up, some picnic tables off to the side so folks can go in and grab an ice cream cone and sit outside and enjoy that this summer.
Perfect.
Yeah, and then the second was the Hastings Tavern, which is the establishment right before you go across the Mississippi Bridge next to City Hall there, the one closest. And so they also were hoping to have a sidewalk cafe this upcoming summer. So those are two new sidewalk cafes to look forward to this year.
And aren't you so happy that a couple years ago, this whole concept of the parklet certainly was something to help businesses, and I love now how it's a positive thing that has come out of the COVID crisis.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It did begin with the pandemic when we were first going into that spring and summer, and we were like, geez, what can we do, to help the business community, particularly our restaurants? And then we started to focus on our downtown Main Street, and it started actually with just shutting down a portion of the Main Street and allowing for the restaurants to extend out as best as they could. And then it turned into the following summer, which was last summer, into allowing permanent sidewalk cafes. And I am just so thrilled to help support our downtown business association and seeing through a charter change to our city code so that we could allow those particular patios to be put in place. And now they're permanent. And I think it's just going to be great for tourism moving forward.
I definitely agree, and I think that it makes our downtown really more walker-friendly, gives a new vibe to the downtown with all the outdoor seating. I love, love, love how it looks, and I love that the restaurants have an opportunity to expand their businesses like that. What else did you want to pull out, please?
Sure. Well, I thought what was super exciting is that two items was the first one was the appointment of our new police chief moving forward. I know that you've had a chance to talk about that a little bit, but I think it's worth highlighting again. We have such a rock star of a police chief in Brian Schaefer. Just working with him and his leadership style just has been so fantastic, and to see him in action. He's been our police chief now for several years. He was actually the 55th police chief. That's what I was looking for, the 55th police chief to lead Hastings here in our 165-year history.
Wow.
And he's just been awesome. He's actually hired or promoted, 75% of the current department that we have, and he is continually advocating for the best for his staff and serving our community. But unfortunately, Chief Schaefer has decided that it's time, to step down, and he has done just an amazing job at, bringing in talent. And there was an interview process that had gone through, and they ended up recommending that David Wolski be appointed chief. He is currently on, the Hastings Police Department, in that number two role to our chief. And so Deputy Chief Wolski, we're really proud of him, and we have full confidence that he'll just do excellent work coming, into his upcoming term. The chief is going to be retiring at the end of May, and so I'm sure we'll have a pinning and, sworn officer ceremony later. I'm guessing at the end of the month. They haven't named the date yet, but I'm sure we'll be learning of that soon.
Tina, did you find that there were a quite a large candidate of people wanting to take over as the chief of police, or do you think people going into law enforcement, the number has gone down?
Well, there's no, those are two completely separate issues, and I'm glad that you brought them up. You know, we knew that as a council, we knew that we had just excellent internal staff, and so we only had two staff that in the end decided to step forward and want to pursue that position as chief. It was Deputy Chief Dave Wolski and then Commander Showalter, who were the two that interviewed. And so the city administrator had put together three different panels to go through the interview process. You know, the majority of us already are very well, you know, familiar with both of those gentlemen and have worked with them for the last few years. And I can't tell you how excellent both of them are. And so it made it an extremely difficult process to go through. And Steve, you know, he nailed it. And so he's being recommended. And so what's going to happen is that Showalter will be then promoted to be deputy chief. So as the number two then to Wolski when he takes on the role as chief.
So are you going to be down then a police officer?
We will. Yeah, they'll be shifting in the ranks, you know, as, you know, folks are promoted. And so eventually, yes, there'll be an additional police officer position that will be vacated. You know, it'll be open for recruitment. And so, you know, the climate within the state for law enforcement has become extremely competitive. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, morale issues the last few years, unfortunately, with law enforcement. That is a career choice where existing staff, you know, have decided to go on to other careers, and, you know, young folks aren't perhaps in the numbers that they have been in years past, you know, wanting to join the police force. And so it's become, you know, very competitive to be able to attract and keep law enforcement personnel. In any department, the chief, you know, we were actually having a conversation with him just a few months ago where we had an opportunity. It was a workshop setting where Chief Schaefer and Deputy Chief Wolski sat down with the city council, and they gave us a whole lot of background information about the current, you know, state of affairs within our police department. And they felt that morale was actually high within our department, that our officers realized that they are very largely supported, you know, within the community, that people believe in what they're doing and that they're setting good examples, you know, for others, you know, in our community to follow. And so we're really proud of that. And but of course, you know, there's other factors besides just, you know, community support, you know, such as pay and, you know, just their work environment, you know, that they're feeling good about, you know, their office settings and then, you know, the equipment that they're provided and such. And so we have been having conversations about, you know, staff pay, you know, for the all of the staff all together. And so we'll be seeing in the upcoming months, I think in July, we'll start to see recommendations for pay scales for all of the city departments, which would include police. And I think that it's really going to be law enforcement and our fire department. We're really going to have to think strategically about how it is we compensate our staff, because I personally believe we don't want to be ho-hum. You know, I don't think that we should be shooting for 50%, you know, that we're at the 50th percentile. I'm not feeling great about the current environment and that we're able to attract and keep the best talent. And so the council will have to have deliberations about where we want to have our wage scale at in the upcoming months. And I hope that we can do better than just being at 50%.
And so, Tina, do you know, are both the police department and the fire department, are they fully staffed right now?
You know, I believe that the police department is fully staffed right now, that they've been able to successfully fill all their positions. But the fire department, that's a whole nother story. I think that they're at something like they have 36 positions available, and they only have like half of those currently filled. And so, yeah, the fire personnel, the full-time positions, those have been very, very competitive in trying to keep and attract staff, you know, within those positions. And so we're currently doing a survey, you know, to look at the fire department and, you know, its current structure and pay scale and what it is that they could be doing to keep and retain or attract and retain new personnel there as well.
It certainly seems like it's an ongoing issue everywhere about personnel and finding employment, you know, or for employers to find and keep good employees. I don't quite understand why it's such an issue everywhere.
Yeah, the job market is tight right now. We all know that. We all know that, you know, all the, you know, you go to any local restaurant or, you know, within the service industry, how they are so strapped. But yeah, it's permeating throughout so many industries, you know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, it's very stressful, you know, being a first responder, you know, being in law enforcement or within a fire department. Our fire department, you know, also has, you know, they're dual trained to be paramedics. And so I think that there is a lot of demand for really well-qualified, you know, individuals. You know, they're stressful positions that put in a lot of hours and they're public-facing and they take a lot of risks where they're putting their, you know, their lives on the line, you know, for us. And so I think it's really important that we do everything that we can, you know, to be supportive of them and provide the resources and tools so that our staff can be successful and that they want to work here in Hastings. I think it's just so extremely imperative. And so it's at top of mind as we have conversations, and I hope that we're, you know, able to do more to do well by them.
Tina, I know one of the other points of discussion was the Community Investment Fund. Did you want to fill our listeners in on that, please?
Sure. Well, this is a pilot project that we started this year. And so what the Community Investment Fund is we set aside $100,000 and with the hope that community partners would put in applications for capital improvement projects that could be done on city grounds, and with the idea that they could bring matching funds to help us accomplish some of those projects that weren't going to be done, you know, anytime in the near future. And so so what we did is we put out the grant application, and we gave it a few months for local partners, you know, to consider, and we got some really wonderful projects that came forward, and we're excited about these opportunities that we're going to be funding. And so we were able to, for every dollar that we were putting forward, we're getting, you know, that back from the community. And so I think in the end, we ended up awarding $96,000 of projects, and we are going to be having a one-for-one match. So it's smart. It's a smart investment for the city, you know, to utilize when there's dollars, you know, that are, you know, being volunteered, being donated from the community to match the city, you know, city dollars, so we can get these projects done. And so would you like to hear about a few of what those projects are that we're going to be moving forward with?
Yes, great. Please.
Okay. The first one, just to mention, is our Downtown Business Association. They requested new Christmas holiday decorations to adorn, you know, the downtown Main Street, you know, and so they had requested almost $20,000, and they were putting up, you know, equal money on their own. So the total project was almost $40,000, and so they're asking the city to pay for half of that. And what will happen is that they're going to purchase 40 seven-foot-tall snowflakes that will be posted on the lights going down, you know, down the streets. And I think it's just going to be beautiful, and hopefully it'll, you know, provide new tourism, and it'll be, you know, a wow factor for our residents to be able to see that over the holiday season. I think it's exciting. They've been wanting to do that for quite some time. For the pandemic, we decided as a council, we ended up lighting up along the river there so residents could feel safe if they wanted to get out for an evening stroll. You know, the sun going down so early, you know, that folks could at least get out and enjoy the downtown and get a little exercise. So this is, you know, kind of like phase two, I would say, where we're now going to be lighting up the downtown with extra features. A second project that is coming forward, which I am so excited to see, is going to take place at our ice rink. The hockey associations, the three hockey associations came together And they put forward a successful application where they were asking for $63,000 worth of improvements to be done at the arena. And so they requested $30,000, and they're matching that then with almost $33,000. And so what they're going to do is they're going to replace the scoreboard and the sound system there at the East Rink, which is, you know, the grand rink with all the stands and such. And they want to, you know, help spruce up around the grounds of the ice rink as well so that it's more inviting. And, you know, my kiddo, he is a hockey player. He graduated in 2020. And as a parent sitting there in the stands, I can tell you there was plenty of times where I had no idea what the announcer just said because it sounded like something out of the Peanuts, you know, cartoon. Wah, 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 wah. Or if you're, you know, if you're a diehard, you know, one of the things you love to watch is to be able to track how many shots on goal have been taking place, you know, during the game. And the new scoreboard will have that feature, so you can track that kind of action for those of us who really love to pay attention to the detail of the game. Other items that are going to be moving forward, the Hastings Hawk and the HYAA, they put in the proposal where they were asking for $17,000 from the city, and they were matching it with $42,000. So what they're going to do with those funds is they're going to put, you know, upgrades to Veterans Park, the baseball facility there, where they're going to put in new batting cages, can be used by anyone using the park, and repairs to the existing bullpen areas. They did replace the scoreboard out there, and so they, again, you know, trying to upgrade the facilities to draw in fans and make it a more pleasurable experience for everybody who's going to be there.
And these projects would start soon?
Well, we approved all of them, so it's just the paperwork will then have to be let by the staff. There were other projects. You know, the Dakota County Historical Society asked for a little bit of money, just $10,000, to put in the Leduc grounds, a new shed, and some fencing. The Hastings Football Club, you know, the soccer club, they had asked for if we could do some turf renovations and improvements, and then they were also looking for money for some new goals, and that was a larger project we weren't able to fully fund. We're going to put $10,000 towards the goals, and then staff is going to try to figure out if we can purchase the equipment so that we could groom the soccer fields to the standards that the soccer players would like to see. And then another project that we had received a request for that we weren't able to fund at this time was there's a pickleball group here in town, and they were asking for the roadside tennis courts to be redone. And that's an issue that's been brought up many, many, many times over the years, you know, to upgrade the tennis court facilities. I guess they're in bad repair if you're an athlete and you like to use those. So we're going to continue conversations with the Tennis Association and the pickleball group to see, you know, for perhaps next year, what can we do a better job of renovating the entire facility.
Tina Fault, she's with the Hastings City Council, and we're very grateful for your time today in recapping the most recent meeting. Thank you so much, Tina, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.